Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Max Bennett, author of A Brief History of Intelligence, Evolution, AI, and the Five Breakthroughs That Made Our Brains. What are the breakthroughs and what are the five breakthroughs, Max?
The five in order are steering, reinforcing, simulating, mentalizing, and speaking. So I'm going to go through each of those, but every breakthrough represented a set of new brain modifications that happened in evolution, and then it enabled a suite of new intellectual faculties, and they each built on each other. So let's go all the way back to the very first brain.
All right.
And we're back in 600 million years ago. It's in a tiny little worm the size of a grain of rice. And in that whole ecosystem, most animals that were large, like sea anemones, which are like coral, didn't move. So they didn't actually pursue food. The way they got food is they just waited for particles to go by them, and then they would grab the particles out of the water. But our ancestor was the first creatures that actually found a way to move towards food and move away from danger. And what's so interesting is this first creature had no eyes. It had no ears. It had none of the standard sensory organs that we have today, and yet it could still navigate. And this is a big clue as to all of the foundational things about how brains work. And the way we know this is twofold. We can see fossil remnants of these early creatures, and there are modern animals that are quite similar to these early animals, like a modern nematode, which is a really, really tiny little worm that has only about 302 neurons in its entire nervous system. So how did this thing navigate without having any eyes or ears? Well, there's a clever trick called steering that these creatures used to navigate. And what happened is they had these tiny little sensory neurons around their head. And when the a smell of something good increased, it would trigger them to steer in that direction. And when the smell of something good, like a food smell, decreased, they would turn. So the entire brain was based on this foundation of steering towards good things and steering away from bad things, which means the foundation of brains is based on the idea of classifying things in the world into good and bad. And so that was the very first brain. There's a whole suite of really interesting things that came with this. In that brain, the standard use of dopamine, serotonin, and adrenaline emerged, which has a really interesting relationship to our modern brains. So there's a whole long journey of how we've tried to understand what dopamine does, for example. And so for a long time, people thought dopamine was the pleasure chemical. And there's been a lot of research that shows if you stimulate dopamine neurons in a rat, for example, every time it pushes a lever, the rat will endlessly push the lever. And that makes people think, oh, it must be the pleasure chemical.
They want it. They want more. Yeah.
They want more. Right. It turns out this guy, Ken Berridge, did some incredible studies that revealed that dopamine is actually not pleasure. And this goes all the way back to the first brains, but his experiments were the following. He said, okay, well, we actually know that rats make very specific facial expressions when they enjoy food. They smack their lips and they make a gaping face when they don't enjoy food. And so if we give these rats a ton of dopamine, do they actually show more pleasurable lip smacks? And the answer is no. They will eat a lot more, but if anything, it looks like they don't like the food anymore. In fact, if you remove dopamine, so they have no dopamine in their brain, they'll stop eating, but if you put food in their mouth, they'll enjoy the food. So what does this mean? It means dopamine is not about pleasure. It's about craving. Dopamine is about pursuing things that we want. It's not about the actual enjoyment of things when we get it. So let's go all the way back to a nematode now. What are the dopamine neurons in a nematode? They're little neurons that stick out of their head that detect the presence of food around the animal. And then there's another set of neurons in a nematode's throat that are serotonin neurons that detect when it's actually eating food. So in the very first brain, dopamine was a signal for good things are nearby, and serotonin was the signal for good things are actually happening.
Amazing.
And that basic template between these two neuromodulators exists all the way throughout the animal kingdom. And it served a whole purpose for steering because, and you see this in a Roomba. I don't know if you know what a Roomba is, the little robot.
The little vacuums, yeah.
Right. So Roombas work very similarly to the first brain. So there's something called dirt detect in a Roomba. When a Roomba passes a patch of dirt, it assumes there must be nearby patches of dirt. So it changes its repertoire. So if it passes a little piece of dirt, it starts turning randomly in the local area because it predicts that if there's a little dirt in one location, there's probably dirt nearby. This is exactly what dopamine did and does in nematode brains. If it detects a little bit of food, it floods the brain with dopamine, which triggers it into an emotional state of what could be called exploitation. And they start turning around looking for food for a while until dopamine levels drop, and then it keeps going elsewhere. So dopamine is this initial seeking chemical. Serotonin is the satiation chemical. It makes them stop and rest. And adrenaline is this big fear chemical. So the basic template of emotion and stress and categorizing the world into good and bad was all present in this steering brain of the very first animal. That was breakthrough one.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons for that. The cost of goods continue to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January of 2021, the cost of living is up almost 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down, a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and this is why so many Americans are turning to the Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from the Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to do that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, tens of thousands of happy customers. You can count on Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Number two?
I can keep going.
Yep, let's do all five.
Okay. So moving forward, 50 million years. Into the Cambrian period, our ancestors evolved into a creature that was most similar to a modern fish, which were the first vertebrates. And they now had eyes, lens-shaped eyes, so they looked very similar to modern fish. They had ears. They had a vestibular system, meaning they could detect direction. They had the basic template of what we think about when we look at a fish. And most of the creatures in the Cambrian period were arthropods. So they were huge insect-like creatures. And our ancestors were very humble, tiny, maybe 1 to 2 inch long fish in this whole world. But if you looked in their brain, you would see a brain that has most of the same structures as a human brain, which is exactly what we see when we look at modern fish, which is kind of mind-blowing to realize that even in a tiny fish brain, you can see most of the same brain structures as a human brain. And so the question is, what does this brain do? Well, there's a really cool story that is connected to AI where it goes a little bit back to dopamine, where, and I'm going to tell a little bit of a story of AI, and then I'll connect it back to brain.
Sure.
So in the 1950s, people had this grand idea of what if we could train a neural network with reinforcement learning? In other words, we just tell it when it does something right, and then over time it should learn the right decisions to keep doing the thing that quote unquote is right. And perhaps we could teach it to play chess. If we just say, hey, AI system, play human in chess. And when you win, I'll give you a reinforcer. When you lose, I'll punish the system. And if you do it enough times, eventually you should get good at chess. And this guy, Marvin Minsky, tried this and it didn't work. And the reason it didn't work is because of something called the credit assignment problem. When you win a game of chess, which previous moves should get credit for being good? You don't know, because it could have been the first moves that were really good. It could have been moves in the middle. It could have been moves at the very end. And so when you get a reward, when you win a game, it's actually hard to know what actions should actually be reinforced.
Okay.
So this guy, Richard Sutton, came up with this really clever strategy, which is how all modern reinforcement learning systems work. In your self-driving car, it's using the exact same technique he discovered, which is something called temporal difference learning, where the reinforcer is actually when you think the world just got better. In other words, when you're playing a game of chess and you do a move and you realize, oh, the thing I just did increased my likelihood of winning by a lot, that's when you get reinforced. And so when we look in fish brains, we actually see exactly this algorithm being implemented, which is it has an expectation of future rewards. And it's reinforcing itself, again, with dopamine when things seem to be doing better. This all happens in a structure called the basal ganglia. So breakthrough two is reinforcement learning. It was this ability to learn through trial and error. And we see this in fish all the time. You can teach a fish to do very, very clever things through trial and error. You can teach fish to jump through hoops. You can teach fish to remember random shapes of animals, and they'll run away from them or they'll run towards them. So reinforcement learning was breakthrough two. We go forward a bunch further, all the way to about 100 million years ago. Our ancestors were early mammals, and they most resembled an early creature that would look like today's squirrels. And they lived in a world surrounded by dinosaurs. They were very low on the totem pole. They were hiding in burrows.
Mm-hmm.
This is the world of dinosaur life. And our little mammal ancestors evolved a new brain region called the neocortex. And the neocortex gave them a very remarkable ability, which is to imagine the world as it is not. In other words, to simulate things. So a mammal can imagine futures and remember past and can consider alternative decisions.
Interesting.
And we see this in rats today. So if you put a rat in a maze and you record neurons in its hippocampus, which has these things called place cells, you can literally watch a mouse imagine going down different paths. And you can watch it imagining eating one type of treat versus another before it makes a decision, which is unbelievable. We can literally go into mouse brains and see them imagining things. And so simulating is this incredible ability to not only learn by actual trial and error, but to learn by vicarious trial and error. In other words, I can learn before I take an action. I can imagine doing things and then decide to do that. So an incredible break forward. And this is one thing that's really missing in AI systems, which has important consequences. Breakthrough four emerged in early primates, something called mentalizing, which is the ability to think about thinking. And this is another key thing missing in AI systems. So if you go into a primate, there's some cool stories where primates trick each other. So one famous one is this guy, Emil Menzel, was trying to teach a chimpanzee to find locations of food. And he would place a little piece of a treat under a rock or in a bush and show one chimpanzee in this group where to find it. And that chimpanzee would very easily find the treat. But then he noticed something that he did not expect to find, which is when Belle, one of the chimpanzees, ran to the treat, she would share it with other chimps in the group. But then what started happening is Rock, the top chimp, would take the treat from her for himself. He was kind of a jerk. So what Belle started doing is she wouldn't go to the treat until Rock was not looking. So she was trying to prevent him from seeing it. But then Rock, in exchange, began looking away, pretending he wasn't paying attention until Belle would go to the treat. Then he'd turn around and run towards it. So then Belle started trying to lead Rock in the wrong direction and then run back. So this cycle of deception and counter-deception is really amazing evidence that chimpanzees and other primates, we see the same thing, can actually think about each other's thinking. Because in order to do that, she needs to understand, well, I can trick Rock into thinking the rock is not here or the treat is not here if I bring him in the other direction or if I look away. So mentalizing is this really amazing feat that emerged in primates. It comes from a variety of brain structures like the granular prefrontal cortex. And that's a really crucial thing missing in AI systems for reasons I can go into. And then breakthrough five with early humans was language. And language is only really possible because of mentalizing, because when we talk to each other, we're always inferring what each other mean when we speak to each other. So, and this is a big problem with AI, where when we say things to them, if they don't know what we mean, there's potentially, you know, dangerous consequences, which I can talk about. So anyway, those are the five breakthroughs. It was very fast. I can go into any of them in much more detail, but steering, reinforcing, simulating, mentalizing, and then speaking.
Do other creatures have a language? I've long suspected that some animals or insects have an ability to communicate with each other, but is it a language or something else?
Very, very good question. So all creatures communicate with each other. I mean, even single-cell bacteria sends chemical signals to each other and will share genes when they need to share genes to help each other out. And we know for a fact that monkeys signal each other. Some monkeys have certain signals that mean eagle, which make all of them jump to the forest floor. They have other signals that mean snake, that leads them all to run to the treetops. So we know there are signals throughout the animal kingdom. But language is unique on two fronts. Language contains what's called declarative labels. And a declarative label is saying you can point at an object and say, that is a cup. And now in your head, you know the thing is called cup, an arbitrary sort of symbol. And then we have grammar. That's the second thing. I can start assembling these symbols into novel phrases, like the words I'm saying right now. And it's really controversial whether any other animals do that, which is assign symbols and phrase them into novel ways. There's been many studies trying to get chimpanzees and bonobos to do this with pretty lackluster results. So you know, there's still emerging studies on other animals, but for the most part, it seems like language, at least the extent to which we use it, is pretty unique to humans.
Pretty dramatic, isn't it?
Amazing. Oh, language was mind-blowing. Language was the first time when we could learn from each other's imaginations. Think about how powerful that is. I can go, before language, if someone in our primate group ran across the forest to a different location and saw that a red snake biting them was really bad, and is really dangerous, they could never share that information that, hey, avoid red snakes. It was impossible. But with language, I can share, hey, this thing happened in the past, and now I'm going to give you that information about it. Or together we can plan a hunt. I can say, hey, let's go to this location. You go left, I go right. When I whistle three times, we're going to start hunting together. And all that type of coordination was not possible without language. It's unbelievably powerful.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.